Welcome all of our churches joining in, everybody online, everybody on Facebook, our military around the world, wherever you are, if you're in one of our churches, from Tijuana to LA and everywhere in between, so glad that you are here for this special weekend. We're going to jump right in looking at our theme verse for this series one last time together. So grab that outline out of your program or click over on notes if you're using the app. You can also follow along on the screen. And I want us to read Colossians 1, verse 6 together. And we're going to read this in our outside voices, okay? So everybody everywhere, Colossians 1, 6, ready, begin. The same good news that came to you is going out all over the world. It is bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. If you're taking old school notes, pen and paper, underline those last three words, God's wonderful grace. Because that's what a ripple effect is all about. Jesus' transformation going out all over the world, wave after wave after wave of God's wonderful grace. And I got to tell you, I've heard so many exciting stories from our team, a staff team, our volunteer teams at all of our churches that have been sharing stories of Jesus' transformation happening as we're giving God this little more space and time in our life during the series. I've been hearing stories from growth groups, stories from our weekend services, from our kids and our student ministries, stories from all of our different churches. And this is such a special time, and I hope you realize it, that God is doing something significant and meaningful in our church right now for this last year and in this halftime moment, that we're not just going to see it and experience now, but the things that are happening now and the choices and decisions that we are making now are going to ripple into the future and even into the future generations because of these things that we are doing. And so on this special commitment weekend, I want to make clear what this two-year spiritual journey is all about, and even what we are leaning into and believing God for more of in this last year of the journey together. And so I want to give you kind of three things that this journey is all about. So if you're taking notes, go ahead and write this first one down. First of all, this journey is all about movement. It's all about movement. As a church and as individuals, we don't want to stay the same. We want to continually be moving forward in step with God's Spirit. Why? Because God's Spirit is always moving. Scripture makes it abundantly clear that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. But what God is doing and how he is doing it always changes. Scripture says that his mercies are new every morning. And so God is always doing something new at every moment in history, in every generation. And so this series and this two-year journey is about us saying, God, we want to be in step with what you are doing. We don't want to take our foot off the gas spiritually in our own lives or as a church. We don't want to rest on our past successes. We don't want to say, oh, look what we have. Look at what God's already done. But we want to lean all into what God has for us next as individual people and as a faith community. And so each week of this series, we've been talking about these different movements that we want to make. And for time's sake, here's what I want to do. If you're here in Chula Vista, you might look at the outline and there's like five different movements. If you miss the previous weeks, you can always go to our website and get them. I'm going to jump to just one last movement that we want to make together today. And so go ahead and write this down. We want to move from comfortable to committed. From comfortable to committed. This is the movement we want to make. Now, we are a culture of comfort, right? I mean, we like comfort and we will pay a lot for it. We like comfortable shoes and comfortable clothes. So much so that ladies, you have successfully turned yoga pants into everyday wear. That's amazing. They're called yoga pants, but you make them Target pants. That's like, wow, well done, okay? And I've even seen this trend recently that guys are starting to get in on this. And they've called these meggings, man leggings. You're not a man if you're wearing meggings, okay? Let's be honest, dude. Those are yoga pants, man. Like, all right. But we like comfort. We like comfort so much. I mean, we'll pay top. We want comfortable cars and comfortable houses. And in American culture, we want comfortable churches. And there's nothing wrong with being comfortable until it starts to creep in to our level of faith and our commitment. You see, at this age and stage of our church story, Eastlake Church, we're 25 years old as a church community. And it would be real easy for us at this moment in time to just kind of relax and take our foot off the gas. And you know what happens to most churches in America that are 25 years or older? It's the same thing that happens to most people. Here's what happens. The older we get, the more we have, right? And the more we have, the less willing we are to risk. As we get old, we don't like risk. We don't like change. We're like, man, I got more to lose. And that's why most churches in America that are 25 years or older are in decline and dying. And this movement of the spiritual journey is about us saying, that's not going to be our story. We're going to make this shift from being comfortable to saying, God, we are going to be committed to your mission. You see, there's two ways to think about church, and I want to use the metaphor of a ship. One is to think about it like a cruise ship. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? Raise your hand up high if you've been on a cruise. All of our churches, raise them up. It can be an amazing experience. I had never been on a cruise before until a couple years ago. Went on my first one. We met up in Florida for a big old family reunion and went on a Disney cruise together. I experienced what heaven will be like, friends. It was incredible. They cater to your every whim. They do everything for you. They put your luggage in the room. You have your own server at your special dinner table every single evening for dinner. They had ice cream available 24 hours a day. Jesus loves me, this I know, for ice cream tells me so, okay? Like, it was amazing experience. They had turned down service at night. You would come back in your room and the sheet would be turned down and there'd be a little piece of chocolate on the pillow. That doesn't happen at my house. I made sure I got to the room first every single night. They did everything. A cruise ship, you know, it's like the towels are, I mean, everything is ready for you when you're on a cruise. They exist to serve you. And this is how a lot of people think of church in America. It's like, man, when I pull in, you better have my close parking space for me. I want to check the kids in without a line and have it, and there's never a problem. The coffee better be hot and the creamer better be fat. The music better be amazing and the preacher better be funny and it better not go too long. And if all of those things are to my liking, I might do what I do on a cruise at the end. Give you a little tip. And so that's a cruise ship mentality. But Jesus didn't say that the church existed to serve me, bless me, feed me. You see, the church is much more like a Navy ship. How many of you, by show of hands everywhere, have ever been on a Navy ship? Hold them up high. Do they have turn down service on a Navy ship? No, they don't. You see, on a Navy ship, here's the difference. It's not bless me, serve me, feed me. It's play your part on the mission. You see, on a Navy ship, everybody knows that their role contributes to the success of the whole. And everybody plays their part. And that leads to our second movement that this spiritual journey is all about. Go and write this down. This journey is about 100% participation. From the very beginning, we've said our goal and our prayer is that everyone in all of our churches will jump all in and play their part during this season and on this mission. You see, when we gather together here, we are not trying to just go to church. We're trying to be the church. You see, we don't show up at our churches every week. If you're a guest and you're new here, we don't show up because we have some guilt complex between us and God, and we're like, whew, we need to, you know, do our religious duty to appease God this week. Whew, okay, we did it. We're off the hook. Like, we're not here to play religious games. if you're a guest at any of our churches, you're around a bunch of people that actually believe that Jesus is who Scripture says and that Jesus did the things that Scripture says that Jesus did. And we are trying to do the things that Jesus said his church will do. We are trying to be peacemakers and joy givers and hope dealers in this broken world. That's what we are trying to do. And I am so grateful and even proud to be a pastor at a church where almost everyone is doing this, where almost everybody is saying, you know what? I will do my part. I will jump into this mission. One of my favorite things about this series has been the stories we've been hearing from regular people in our church. People that are sitting next to you, people that are serving in our kids, people that are leading our students, hearing their stories of faith, their stories of hope, their stories of putting God first. And every time you hear somebody else's faith story, here's what it always does for me, and I pray it does for you, that it encourages you in your faith story to say, man, I want to trust God like them. I want to believe like they believe. And so one last time in this series, I want us to hear from some of our peers in all of our churches that are jumping in and that are trusting God with us. Watch this.
Pray fervently, commit fully, help us reach our goal of 100% participation.
Cannonball has been about all of us, all ages, all life stages, declaring that we want to be a community of people that are jumping all in with Jesus on this mission and then make some Kingdom of God waves together.
Giving to a church for me was not something regularly that I did. And once Cannonball came up, you know, the commitment series, I really had to pray about it and then pray with my family too and talk to my peers because, you know, I'm young, I'm 21, and so not a whole lot of money to be saving up my whole life to give. And so that was a huge step for me of just kind of getting out of my comfort zone, not just financially, but in all aspects of life for me.
Once I got into that Cannonball growth group with the guys the first time, they were all talking about their tithe, and I'm kind of just sitting there going, all right, well, we're nowhere. We don't do that. But sitting in a group one day, talking with everybody, I just got the voice of Jesus telling me, test me. Test me. Give me your finances and test me and see where it takes us. It really has been easier than expected. We've been able to see the things that the church are doing, how it's being helped around the community. It's just amazing.
We already tithe and give to the church, so giving extra was, we had to reevaluate everything. So we had to discuss it together on how much more we can give.
What we're looking for in the last, you know, kind of season of Cannonball is to really just finish strong and think about what God has for us next.
You know, for me, I have been giving for a long time. When I made the commitment, when he showed me the amount, I was quite shocked. but I decided to trust him. He is faithful, and he wants you to grow in him and to trust him and to know that he has all the challenges. He's resolved it. He's way ahead of us, and he's there.
Matthew 6:21 says, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." And for me, I definitely feel by giving to this initiative, my heart has definitely been with God.
I think about the different churches that are gonna come out of this, the different pastors, the different leaders, the people who are gonna accept Christ in their lives, and how just doing that, making that one decision, can have a ripple effect, and not just in their lives, but in lives of other people for generations to come.
When we first started tithing, I had a little rough start with it. My wife, she was all in. The Cannonball has since let us refocus on what the bigger picture is, what our church is doing, and how we're giving to our community and helping outside of the community, going abroad. That right there, I was all about it. I was all in. I felt like this Cannonball initiative was speaking to us that we really needed to expand our generosity.
You have to really believe that you're playing a part and that there is a mission, there is a greater good, a greater cause.
And for me to know that I can somehow, in some way, my small way, make a difference, you know, blesses me.
Coming together as a group, we could really have a great impact on the community and throughout the world.
With Cannonball, I realized that it was time to stop. Like, you can't keep making excuses. If you don't start doing it now, you're never going to do it. It doesn't matter how much money you give or if it's not your definition of enough. Like, you're contributing to something that's a lot bigger than you. Like, you're contributing to the mission of Jesus. And that's why I was like, I have to commit. Like, this is something that Jesus is calling me to do. This is something that it's in the Bible. I can't just make excuses for myself and feel sorry for me when it's the right thing to do.
Awesome. I love those stories of trust, of putting God first, of stepping out in faith. And I hope you heard the common theme through every one of these stories. And it's what will happen for you and me if we jump all in as well. You see, it doesn't just change things out there when we are generous, when we give. It changes things in here. It changes us. Jesus himself said this. I want to show you in Luke chapter 12. Look at the words of Jesus to his followers and really to us today. Here's what he said. My little flock, don't be afraid. God is your father, and your father's great joy is to give you his kingdom. That means you can sell your possessions, you can give generously to the poor, you can have a different kind of savings plan, one that never depreciates, one that never defaults, one that can't be plundered by crooks or destroyed by natural calamities. Your treasure will be stored in the heavens. And since your treasure is there, let's read the rest of this verse out loud together everywhere. Ready, go. Your heart will be lodged there as well. You see, what Jesus was teaching them and what he's saying to us today is that if you want to move your heart, you have to move your money. If you want to care about eternal things, you have to invest yourself into eternal things. I want to remind you of something we talked about in week number 2. Remember this rope? If you weren't here, here's what we said. Imagine that this rope represents your life, which scripture says goes on and on and on forever. Because you and I are not just a self that we get, you know, 60, 70, 90, and then, you know, poof, we're gone and we cease to exist. You see, this green part represents that 60, 70, 80, 90 that we get in this life on this body. But scripture teaches that you and I are a living soul with an eternal destiny in God's great universe. And so this green part represents life in this body on this earth. And we all have that. But scripture teaches that we will all spend eternity somewhere else. And much of Jesus' teaching talked about that how we live here determines where and how we live for millions and millions and millions of years, all of eternity. And you see, this Cannonball series and this spiritual journey, it is about us saying we want to be people that live with the rest of the rope in mind. Because our culture sucks us into a deception that says this is all there is. This is all life is about. And so let's invest all of that we have and everything into getting the most that we can out of this little moment right here. Where Jesus says over and over again, don't be fooled by that. You see, the kingdom of God is often countercultural. And when our world says that we need to hold out, Jesus says you need to let go. Luke chapter 25, not in your notes, or Luke chapter 12. If you keep reading around there, here's one of the things that Jesus said. Is Jesus said if you want to find your life, you actually have to learn how to lose your life in him. Because that's where your true self is found. And so as a church, we're saying we want to be people that live with the rest of the rope in mind. Because there are only two things we can invest in here that will last forever down here. Remember what those are? People and the kingdom of God. That's it. And so this journey is about us jumping all in and saying, God, we want to invest ourselves in what matters most. And that leads to this third action. Go ahead and write it down. This journey is all about generosity. This journey is all about generosity. Now, after you write that down, I want you to look back up here because this is probably the most important statement that we're going to make today, and I want you to get it, and I want you to hear it from my heart. Generosity is not just the means to our mission or to accomplish our goals. Generosity is the mission. And let me explain what I mean by that. You see, God is not asking us to be generous just so that we can care for more than 500 children and orphans in Uganda like we have for over a decade. God is not asking us to be generous just so we can build more homes across the border in Baja for families that are living in extreme poverty. God is not asking us to be generous so that we can rescue more women and girls out of human trafficking right here in our county where we funded the very first safe house in the county as a church ourselves. God is not just asking us to be generous so we can start new churches and invest in incredible environments for our kids and students to lead the way in the next generation. God is not just calling us to be generous for that. You see, generosity is the mission. Why? God is asking us to be generous because it makes us more like Jesus. That's why. Generosity is the goal. A generous spirit is what it's all about. And generosity goes so far beyond giving resources. It actually makes us like Jesus. You see, when you have a generous spirit, not only will you be willing to give and share resources, but you will willingly give forgiveness like God has given you when people hurt you. You see, if you'll become more like Jesus, a generous spirit, you will be willing to give of your time. When people in your life need someone to encourage them and extend compassion towards them. You see, having a generous spirit will enable you to give yourselves in prayer for the people that you love and care about who do not yet know Jesus. You see, having a generous spirit, it doesn't just change things out there for other people. It changes things in here. And so as your pastor, I'm going to unashamedly call us to places of greater surrender and sacrifice. Why? Because I want you to be more like Jesus. I want to be more like Jesus. You see, what we're trying to do here is we want our cities to be better places because our churches are in them. The way that we love and the way that we serve our cities, we want people in all of our cities to be able to say, I might not believe what those crazy people believe, but man, I'm sure glad they're in this city. We want our schools and our places of work and our neighborhoods to be better places because we are in them, bringing a gracious spirit, a spirit of generosity to those places in a world that is turned in towards self and selfish and broken. Because if Jesus was on your job, if Jesus was at your school, if Jesus lived in your neighborhood, that's what he would do. He would serve others. He would love others. He would extend kindness and compassion and prayer and generosity to every single person around him. And so this is about us saying we want to make that movement and be people that live like Jesus. And here's what we're going to get along the way. Not only will it change us, but then we will still accomplish all those other things. We will build homes for people in extreme poverty. We will care for more orphans all the way over in Africa. We will rescue women and girls out of human trafficking. We will invest in the next generation of kids and students that are going to lead the way. We will get all of that and we will be changed. We will be like Jesus. I want us to read the last verse on our outline together. Here's who Jesus was. Here's what Jesus did. This is what we're trying to be and do. Matthew 20:28, all of our churches, ready, begin. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. If you're taking old school notes, circle or underline, serve and give. We are never more like Jesus than when we serve and give. We are most like our Savior when we live like he lived for others. And this is what we are doing together during this spiritual journey. In a moment, all of us, all of our churches, we're going to make these spiritual commitments together. And this moment matters. First of all, I want to let you know it matters for you. Because if you'll step out in faith, here's what I know, that God will show himself faithful, that your trust and your faith will grow. But this moment also matters for people who are not here yet. It matters for people that we will never meet on this side of the rope. But people that our investments will matter for and we might meet on the other side of the rope. This is what it's about. And so here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give all of us about a 3-minute moment of prayer and reflection. I'm going to invite everybody, go ahead and get this back out of the seat in front of you, or if you're in a front row, it might have been on your seat, depending on what church you're at, under your seat, on a table next to you. We have lots of different venues and locations, but go ahead and get that in your hand. I want you to have two things in your hand. I want you to have the commitment card, and I want you to have this little tag, okay? And here's what we're asking everybody to do. Again, if you're a guest, no expectations on you. I'm just glad you get to see some people that take Jesus' mission of making the world a better place, sharing the good news story of Jesus seriously. So if you're a guest, just I'm glad you get to see this today. But if you are a part of our church, I'm asking every single one of us to do this. And here's all I'm asking you to do. Respond to Jesus and do what he tells you. And so we've been asking everybody to consider 3 steps. Many of you, in just a moment, you're going to write down your first ever commitment to this church, or maybe probably even any church. And you're going to, and you did not make a commitment with us a year ago. And so here's what we're asking you to do. If this is your church, jump in for the last year of this spiritual journey. Make a 1-year commitment with us to Cannonball. Others of us, many of us made a commitment a year ago. And it doesn't mean that commitment's been easy. Some of you are on pace. Some of you might be going, man, I'm a little behind. I'm not sure if I can do that. Here's what I want to do. I want to encourage you to exercise the same faith you had a year ago and say, God, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to finish strong. And there's a third group of us that you're here and you made a commitment, but you've had an increase in faith or an increase in finances. I meet with our stewardship team regularly. And one of the things that they told me is that there are many people in all of our churches that are, you know, well above 50% of their commitment, and a few people that have even already met their commitment. And maybe that's your story, that you go, wow, I had no idea that God would bring these things into my life. And so you're at a place where you are going, you know, is God inviting me to expand and stretch my faith through expanding my commitment? That's what my wife and I are doing. As we've talked and prayed about this, we feel like God is inviting us into a greater level of surrender and sacrifice. And so we're excited to do that, and we're excited to see how God comes through and how our faith grows this next year. And so during this time, here's what I want you to do. I want every single one of us to fill out the left side of this card with whatever of those boxes apply to a first-time commitment, a finished strong commitment, or an enlarged commitment. And if you're here as a couple, I want you to hold on to that. I want you to pray over it. If you're here as an individual, this 3 minutes is a prayer time. It's a time of reflection. And then for us to courageously say yes to Jesus. And then after you fill out that card, here's what I want you to do. I want you to write your name, or if you're here as a family, write your family name. So like on mine, I'm going to write the Grogan Five. Sounds like an Avengers group, I know. But that represents my wife, Rebecca, myself, and our 3 kids. And then when I come back, I'm going to tell you what we're going to do with these 2 things, okay? So I'm going to give us 3 minutes. I want you to stay seated. I want you to pray. I want you to talk. And I want you to courageously say yes to Jesus and write down what he invites you to do. Let me pray for us. God, I thank you that you invite us to play our part in your great story of redemption. And so, God, I thank you for a group of people that are willing to live with the rest of the rope in mind. God, give us courageous faith to say yes to you in this moment. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying, and then help us boldly respond with faith. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take some moments of prayer and reflection. Write that down, and then I'll be right back. Thank you. Here's how we're going to receive these. We're going to do something really cool together, really significant. We are going to worship with two more songs. And these are really prayers, big prayers of faith that I want us to pray together by singing together, saying, God, here's what we want to happen as a result of these commitments. We want your story to go out ripple after ripple, wave after wave from this place, far beyond anything that any of us could do by ourselves. And so we're going to pray those things together. And during the next two songs, I'm going to invite you to stand in just a moment. At any moment during those next two songs, here's what we're going to do. I want you to bring this forward and place it in one of the bowls across the front and set that in there in the bowl that has some blue paper in there. Set that inside there. And then I want you to take your tag that has your name or your family name on it, like this one. And in another bowl, there are strings. And I want you to join with hundreds and thousands of other people and families across all of our churches that are saying, we are going to be people that live with the rest of the rope in mind. And I want you to grab a string and I want you to tie it onto the rope. This will be across the front at all of our churches. It's on the side. And we're going to have two songs that we're going to be able to respond. And then here's what I want to ask you. Some of you are like, we're getting out early today. Don't drop your card and then keep on walking. I want you to go back to your seat because here's what God has done all day. Some powerful things in all of our hearts during these last two songs and prayers. And so I want you to stay in here. I want you to stay engaged. And I want you to declare these songs of faith to God as you drop that card and as you attach your family name to this rope, saying, God, we're going to be people that live with the rest of the rope in mind. Would you stand with me? Let me pray for us one more time. God, we stand in boldness and courage and faith today, trusting you. And I pray that this physical expression of tying this card to a rope represents the way that we want to live as Jesus people. God, I pray this wouldn't just be a physical thing, but it would be a spiritual thing in this moment, that we dedicate ourselves and our family to living with the rest of the rope in mind, to investing ourselves in what lasts forever, people and your kingdom. We sing these songs, we pray these prayers now with great faith, believing what you're going to do with our sacrifice, with our surrender, with our giving. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's worship and pray together.
Scratch the surface and only had just one glance. We've tasted of your glory, but there's so much more. We're standing on horizon where earth collides with heaven. You're longing for your children to cry out for more. We cry out for more. Let it echo from this city to the nations, the sound of praise. Let the windows of the heavens open wide and let it rain. Here inside your prayer, surrounded by your spirit, we're satisfied but desperate for even more of you, even more of you. Let it echo from this city to the nations, the sound of praise. breathe.